Hey, y'all. It's me, Jess Bubico, and I am excited to be here with you on the Waking Up with Jess podcast. Each week, I'll invite you to wake up to your inner knowingness, get creative, and march to the beat of your own drum in your business and life. We'll dive into different subject areas from business to health to work, relationships, and beyond. On the podcast, we'll get raw, honest, and real, keeping it a little bit personal, a little bit educational, and most importantly, we're going to have a lot of fun. Each episode, you'll feel like you're sitting down at a coffee shop having an intimate conversation with a few of your best friends. Join me each week as I act as your confidant and friend who loves the heck out of you and wants to see you shine. Come along and wake up with a cup of Jess. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I am going to tell you in advance, I have a little bit of a sore throat. It is allergy season pretty much everywhere as we cross into spring. So just a heads up, my voice may sound a little, I don't know if I'm going to call it froggy, but it might sound a little interesting today. So I want to hop on here because this week my program Work started. And Work is a program that's all about diving into like your zone of genius and the work that you came here to do in the world. And one of the things that we talked about week one in this program is about in the Gene Keys, we have something called the Ring of Prosperity, which is it's basically all about sort of this new way of being prosperous and this new way of looking at creating prosperity in our own lives. And this is something that this like Ring of Prosperity had been calling to me for a while to just learn more about and to dive into and to understand. Because something in the way that we're working and conceptualizing now, which is part of why I ran the program Work in the first place, but something about how we're conceptualizing work, especially oftentimes with like many of the women that I talk to, I'm not going to say it's not men as well, because I think this can also apply to men, but I see it a lot more in the women that I talk to. It's like something in the way that we're conceptualizing work in general is not fully translating for, I think, most people that I know right now. And in class, what we were talking about this week and what I want to talk with you about today is this new way of conceptualizing prosperity and how we personally work in the world. Because the truth of the matter is that most people that I meet and many of the women that I talk to online or people that I follow on Instagram or Facebook, a lot of the times identify as being very multi-passionate people. And one of the things that I think many people struggle with is if I'm multi-passionate and I love doing many things, like how do I categorize myself and put myself into a box that is understandable to people? And the thing that I have been, this is actually kind of coming to me in this moment, but something that I've been thinking about a lot is that like each and every single one of us is kind of the gift that keeps on giving, in that when you're a multi-passionate person, it can feel very uncomfortable to try to put yourself into just one box. And I think the day and age of I am an author, I am a school teacher, I am a garbage man, I am a publicist, I am this one thing, is changing and evolving. And I think what we're starting to realize is that who we are and how we operate and the way that society operates now, we don't have to just have one gift. We don't have to have just one thing that we do. We can be multi-passionate people who do many things. But I think we have to start looking at these different aspects of ourselves as different gifts that we have to share. Because For me personally, what I used to do is I'd be like, well, I'm intuitive, so I got to start an intuitive business. And then I'd start to pursue that. And I'd be like, wait, but I also love working with kids. And then I'd be like, oh crap, now I have to like, I got to ditch the intuitive work and I'm going to start working with kids. And then I'd be like, okay, wait, hold on. Okay, I also love human design. Okay, well, I love human design, which means maybe I should just have a human design business. And what I would do personally is I'd essentially take the gift that I had and I'd like light it on fire. I'd be like, okay, wait, no, it's not this anymore. It's this. Okay, wait, no, it's not that anymore. It's that. But the truth of the matter is, as multi-passionate people, it might not be that it's just one thing or another. It may be all of the things. But I think what happens is when we try to package ourselves into one sentence, it's like, well, I'm an author as my main job, but and I also am intuitive as an author, and I'm also this and that. It can start to feel overwhelming. It can start to feel confusing. I know people start to get anxiety when people ask that question of like, well, what do you do? Right? I think the answer is, well, maybe you do multiple things. You know, maybe you're an author and you, like myself, I write children's books. And I'm also, you know, under this sort of umbrella of writing, I write children's books and I also write blogs and newsletters for other people because I love helping people express themselves. And I also teach human design and the gene keys and work with intuition and energy and all these kinds of things. Now, if I try to squish them together and combine them, because I'm telling myself I'm not allowed to be multi-passionate, or I think I talked about this in the last podcast that I did, but if I'm telling myself like I can't have multiple different passions and jobs and like it has to look linear and it has to be one thing, what I start to do is I start to like limit myself. Now, I want to talk about the ring of prosperity and how this might relate to you because I do believe that this is very much the future of where work is going. Especially for multi-passionate people. And it may be everyone, but it also may not be everyone. This just might be some of the people who are listening to this podcast today. And maybe you're listening to this podcast, and you're like, I'm not really multi-passionate. I'm just kind of singularly passionate. And that's okay too. But I want to offer a different perspective because when I started to pursue understanding this ring of prosperity in human dis or in the gene keys, which brings together the gene key 16. And the gene key 45, things started to make more sense for me. And I want to also wrap in here. When we look in the gene keys at our prosperity sequence, we look at our culture, and our culture tells us about the type of team that we might work best within. Because what I used to get stuck in is I used to go, okay, well, I'm multi-passionate. I love writing books. I love doing intuitive sessions. I love doing human design work, and I love doing like all these things. And then I would get stuck because I'd go, oh my God, I have to be an entrepreneur who does all of those things. But the truth is, as an example, if I loved working with intuition, perhaps for me, I could start doing readings once a week at a metaphysical store because it feels fun to do that. You know, it's a place that I get to go and have that output, but I don't necessarily have to have a whole business doing it. But there's an exchange there, right? I get filled up with energy because I love doing it. And perhaps you know, there's a monetary exchange there. The other person gets what they want, but not necessarily everything has to be turned into a huge business or a main hustle. Maybe writing blogs and books is something that you know, somebody becomes well esteemed for, and they spend the majority of their time doing that. Okay, cool. You know, and then they can also, you know, do other things or have other side businesses or things they do on the weekends. So I have always been a multi-passionate person, always. And we'll talk about the 16 specifically, the Gene Key 16 really connects with this. But for me personally, even when I was in graduate school, I was doing graduate school. I was teaching exercise classes, and I was also working for a DJ company, getting kids up dancing at bar mitzvahs, which was like arguably one of my favorite jobs I've ever held, which you would know that if you've listened to other things I've done in the past. But I loved being able to like facilitate fun and have a good time. And then once I got my first job as a speech therapist, I also taught exercise classes. I've just always been someone who's done multiple things at one time. So let's talk a little bit about. So I say all this to say, if you are someone who identifies with this idea of having multiple passions, this podcast is for you today. Because some people say, like, you have to burn all the ships down. You can't follow all of your passions. You have to pick one and put all of your time and energy into it. And I will just say, for me, I have not found that that is the case. I've actually found that it's quite the opposite. When I actually give myself space now, so like as an example, here in Fort Lauderdale, I've been teaching. I've been like subbing some Reiki circles and teaching at a local yoga studio and things like that. Because I found when I was getting super siloed into doing one thing, I was actually feeling extremely, I was just getting like agitated. I was like, I need to do more than one thing. Like I'm bored. I need to have multiple things going at a time. So with that being said, let's talk about this idea of the ring of prosperity. And this is my personal predictions on where I think work is going to go for many people. Because when people say to me, like, oh, Jess, what do you do for work? I always start off with a sentence of, I do multiple things. I wrote a kid's book. I copyright. I teach human design and Gene Keys classes. Like, I don't feel the pressure anymore like I used to, even just a couple of weeks ago, to be like, I am a speech therapist and all that I do is speech therapy, you know, or whatever. I am an online business owner and all that I do is own online businesses. You know, it's like, okay, no, I can be multi-passionate and I can be multifaceted, and that's okay. So when we look at the ring of prosperity, this is it's a codon ring. And in the Gene Keys, what we talk about is that these are like encodings in our DNA and activations in our DNA that are currently being activated and awakened from inside of us. And so this ring of prosperity, you'll see when I talk about the shadow, how I think we've been kind of caught in the shadow of the ring of prosperity, and where multi-passionate people or brave people like me and yourself are changing the narrative, and we're creating that shift. But it can also create discomfort inside of us because it's not necessarily how society has been built and sustained itself over the years. So the combination of the 16 and the 45, the Gene Key 16, the Gene Key 45, which you can look up in the Gene Keys book, or you can do some Googling around the 16 and the 45, they come together to unlock inside of us this new way of creating prosperity. So when we look at this 16, the 16 is the shadow of indifference and the gift of versatility and the city of mastery. Now, when we look at the shadow of indifference, this can be seen as, this is my interpretation of it. So I always tell people to go and contemplate it for yourself. But this is about staying in our comfort zone, having a lot of potential, but no discipline. Having dreams, things that we want to do, but we feel this sense of like, what's the point? And we end up finding ourselves focusing on the inessentials and what's not really important. So we can have a lot of potential, but we don't have discipline to do the things that we desire to do. An example of this could be someone who is, let's say, working a job that they really, really don't enjoy doing at all. And they have lots of potential. They're an amazing chef. And one of the things they want to do is start like a chefing business on the side, but they're not doing it. And maybe on the weekends, when they actually have the time to start doing it, they're like, well, I got to focus on this, or, you know, instead of doing this, instead of focusing on the things that I love doing, I'm gonna focus on this thing that doesn't really matter. Maybe that is like you keep obsessing over your bookshelf and having to fix it. And then once you fix the bookshelf, you're energy is kind of diverted, and you're like, okay, well, now I need to fix up this garden, even though you've never gardened and you don't enjoy gardening. Or, you just keep focusing on the lack of money that you have instead of sort of starting to focus your attention on, yeah, but I'm such an amazing chef. It's easy for me and I'm passionate about it. Instead of just focusing all of my time and energy on chefing, or, fixing the bookcase and fixing the garden and focusing all the time on how much money I don't have, I'm going to start to shift my energy and my awareness towards what else could be possible. If I don't spend the time fixing these things, I'm actually, and stop obsessing over how I don't have money. Instead, I'm going to start to redirect my energy towards, okay, I love cooking. What could be possible here? Because if you just start cooking, then suddenly your money problem maybe starts to go away. And maybe, your bookcase, you don't have to worry about the bookcase anymore because you can take all of your cookbooks somewhere else, like whatever it is. But the shadow of indifference leaves us focusing on stuff that doesn't matter. We kind of get into this thing of like, yeah, that's my dream, but what's the point? And the idea with the 16, what you kind of have to come to grips with is no one's coming to save you. Only you can save yourself. And so what that does is it asks us to start to take action. And what we have to do is we have to fuse together our mind, our heart, and our spirit. And we have to start to embrace our multifaceted nature, our multi-passionate nature. And so what we start to do is allow our mind to serve our heart's highest mission. And so we start following our enthusiasm, letting our enthusiasm lead. So as an example, for me, I kept getting this feeling of like, I just want to do Reiki with groups. Like I need to do that. And I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But I also know that at this point in time, I don't necessarily want to start my own pop-up Reiki business either in the area. Maybe I will one day, but right now it's not really something that I feel called to. But I started connecting with and hanging out with people who teach yoga and host Reiki circles in the area, right? And then I was like, I would talk about Reiki and what excited me. And then I got an opportunity to go and do a Reiki circle for someone. So we have to start to say it doesn't have to be linear. And I get to allow my passion and my excitement to support me. And we also get to say, like, maybe it's starting your own huge business, but also maybe it's not, like maybe it's doing something as a side hustle because it brings you joy. I think when we look at in the prosperity sequence, we look at culture. Our culture teaches us about the type of working environment that works best for us. And just as an example, like I know that I work great in groups of 3 to 15. So I found a great little yoga studio in the area where I can teach human design study groups because I love that and I get to be a part of their community. And I can, sub some of these Reiki circles or yoga classes or whatever it may be versus going like, I got to start boots on the ground. My culture's 3 to 15 people. And sometimes I do stuff on my own. I'm doing the podcast on my own, right? I do my Substack on my own. They're ways of expressing self. But the idea is that with this 16, we have to move out of that, like, I'm just feeling this sense of laziness. I have these things I want to do, but I keep delaying them and putting them off to the side until the conditions seem better. Oftentimes, because we tell ourselves it's going to be a lot harder than it actually is. But, this is about being able to take our gifts and our skills and use them and expand into many different fields. The 16 is the energy, Richard Rudd says, of like the polymath. And so the polymath is not just about using their gifts in one field, but expanding into many. I love running groups. That's probably, honestly, running groups is my favorite thing. And I can run groups in the Reiki space. When I was in graduate school for speech therapy, I ran groups like for cognition for people who had had strokes and aphasia. When I was in college, I ran and facilitated groups in my sorority.
But it's about this ability to say, I can take my gifts and skills and use them in many different areas. So maybe if, again, you're thinking about the personal chefing business and you love kids, maybe there's a summer camp that is an after, you know, I don't know, it's after 4 o'clock and you get off work at 4 o'clock and they're looking for instructors to come and teach cooking to kids. It's like, oh yeah, I love chefing. I love kids. Why not go and try this in this area? And so that really is when we start to find ourselves coming into this space of the city of the 16, which is mastery. So we are this receiver in this open book where we were brimming over with life. We want to give, we want to share, we want to share our gifts, right? Versus staying stuck in these stories of why we can't. And oftentimes I think some of the easiest places to create those like stories that we believe, you know, I'm not even gonna say, oh, like it's an excuse and you're lazy or this. It's really not that. It's this genetic and programming inside of us that makes us stay in that place of our comfort zone. You know, and that we start focusing on what doesn't matter. And we go, okay, well, I don't have enough money. So I'm going to have to, you know, like focus on just working harder at work. And it's like, yeah, but what if, you know, teaching chef classes, you're like, you're saying like, okay, once I make more money, then I can go start a chef business. It's like, well, what if you actually started looking at doing things where you could bring your chefing to different places? Like I said, this kids camp, maybe it gives you a lift of an extra $500, $600, $700 a month, you know, like, awesome, go do that. And then suddenly we're not putting off with excuses because we're seeing other places where this could bring up possibility for us. So the 16 is follow your enthusiasm, let yourself take your gifts and skills and use them in different ways. Tap into that multi-passionate nature of yours and get creative about how and where you can share your gifts with other people. That is truly, I think, the beauty of this 16 and what's being unlocked within all of us, because the shadow of the 16 was very much about doing one thing, becoming, you know, the person who knows how to do chefing in restaurants only for breakfast. And we get stuck there. And the Gene Key 16 asks us to expand beyond those definitions and use our versatility and our enthusiasm to use our gifts in all different kinds of ways. Now, this 16 pairs with the 45, like we talked about. And when we look at the 45, the 45 and its shadow is dominance. It's survival mode. It's dog eat dog. I have to dominate people in a working environment, right? We are in a space of hierarchy. There's the boss at the top. There's the little people at the bottom. And oftentimes we see survival fears here. We see fear. We see insecurity. We see people trying to dominate each other in the workspace. We start to feel unsafe and insecure. And I think you would be surprised at the very insidious and unconscious ways this shows up for a lot of people. This can also show up in our relationships, in our romantic relationships. Like, okay, well, I have to make more than my wife makes, you know, or, oh, I have to make more than my husband makes, or I have to dominate someone in this way or that way. When we look at the shadow of dominance, we can also dominate inside of ourselves, right? If we use the chefing idea, maybe you're somebody who works in corporate America in a very masculine space. You work in banking as an example, and your chefing allows you to be in more of a feminine space. Do you say to yourself, well, the masculine energy means more, and so I should be only climbing the top of the ladder because then I can dominate and I'll have enough money. And once I have enough money, then I can. And often what happens with that masculine shadow is we never bring the feminine in because we're never really looking at it. We're saying it's not good enough. You know, it's not going to take me where I need to go. So we can have dominance inside of ourselves. We can have dominance in our relationships. We can have dominance in our workspace. And what the 45 is asking us to do is go from hierarchy to heterarchy, which is more about moving into the gift of synergy. And so if you've ever worked with a team where you're like, oh my God, this is so easy, it's so fun, I have so much energy as a result of working with this team, it's like, yeah, okay, that's amazing. Like, this 45th gift is like we start to move into this space of effortlessness with others. We want to help each other. Right now, I work on a team in one of my multi-passionate adventures where it feels easy and it feels like we see eye to eye in a lot of ways. And it's like, okay, we get on calls and everybody's bouncing ideas off of each other and we're co-creating something bigger than ourselves. And when we're in this field, this collaborative field, we move into one awareness. I can't tell you the number of times we'll go, well, what do you think you should charge for that? And the person goes, well, I think we should charge this. And the other person goes, oh my God, I was thinking that too. It's because we're tapped into this one collective consciousness. And then everyone leaves the calls feeling more filled up with energy than they felt before they got on them. And so it's the same thing with the chefing businesses, as an example. Maybe you start going and working with someone who you really believe in, and you believe in the work they're doing in this children's camp that they're doing. And you guys are just on the same page. And there's no sense of dominance or hierarchy. And this person really respects what you have to say, and you really respect what they have to say. And so what you do is you come together and you collaborate for the purpose of something higher, because you both see food as medicine, or this is teaching kids life skills they wouldn't otherwise have. So what happens when we start to bring, and then that moves us into this field of communion, right? Working together is this beautiful synergistic whole. We become more powerful as a whole than, you know, we were before. So when we look at this gene key, we look at the 16 and the 45 and this marriage of the two, what we get is this invitation into our multifaceted nature and our multi-passionate nature, where we take our gifts, we use them across different fields. We get out of the stuckness of focusing on what doesn't matter. And instead we start to focus on what does and what possibility might be before us, and seeing who we can co-create with and what that might look like. And we start to move into these patterns and these groups of people. And again, you can use your culture as an example, where there's no longer dominance, but synergy. And the energy feels like it moves more effortlessly. And when there are challenges or there are problems, you start to work them out together to create more synergy and harmony within the whole. So this to me is the new future of work, where it's not about being number one. It's about being fully yourself and being in your own bigness, and that you own your versatility, you own your gifts, and you don't see it as, I just have to figure out how to package myself into one gift, because this is the only way. You know, it's okay, I have multiple different gifts, and maybe I'm going to spend 80% of my time funneling them into this channel in this synergistic group, or, and then maybe the other 20% I use, you know, I'm teaching a class, the chefing class to kids, or whatever it may be. And then, you know, I volunteer on the weekends, or I bar mitzvah party dance, or whatever, right? But this is what we're looking at, and I think where we're moving to. And I think this is why a lot of people feel pain in the working space, because they are attempting to be in that shadow of the 16 and the 45, focusing on the inessentials, telling themselves they have to become a master in one thing, and that one thing has to be their only thing. And then in the 45, they have to dominate, they have to climb to the top of the hierarchy. And what I'm inviting you to do is just ask this question of, what would it look like if I shifted for myself even more, maybe you're already doing this, into versatility, bringing all of my different gifts to the table, using them in different ways enthusiastically, and starting to group and pair with people who I really resonate with, you know, and that we can create something bigger than ourselves together. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is my rant for today. That is my rant on versatility and where I think things are moving from a working space. And, you know, I've throughout the years, like I talked about on, I think, again, one of the last podcasts I did, like I struggled with that, you know, because that was something that I felt like I needed to, if I wanted to prove myself in the world, you know, I had to figure out how to make something of myself in a way that looked like it, you know, fit in the hierarchy of humanity. But I think the invitation, and I just actually sent out a Substack post about social media that I will be very curious if you are on my Substack to hear your thoughts, because I invited everyone to share in the comments. Sometimes it asks us to step out of the norm of what we've always done and considered normal in order to courageously move in a new direction in our lives. And we don't, sometimes we want to burn everything to the ground and start over, but that's not always the case either. So, okay, my friends, that's all I have for you today. If you're interested in checking out work, we closed the doors. It started last Monday, but if it's something that you're interested in doing in the future, you can check it out on my website, www.jessbubbaco.com/work. It's a really cool class. It's an exploration into sort of looking at work from this different perspective, diving into the prosperity sequence, seeing where your zone of genius is, what your different gifts are, and just encouraging you to be you fully, express you fully, and move in new and exciting directions without forcing yourself or telling yourself you have to be this way or that way in order to do it. It's just getting curious and letting yourself play in what work could look like for you. So, okay. And I'll probably run it again in a couple of months, but that's all I wanted to say. Okay, much love to all of you. Make it a great one.
Hey, hey, thanks so much for being here and listening to this episode of the Waking Up with Jess podcast. If you liked today's episode, I'm going to ask you to do one of three things. Number one, leave a rating. Number two, leave a review. And number three, if you think it could help a friend out in need, go ahead and send it to them. I greatly appreciate your support. When you rate the podcast or leave a review, it helps other awesome and amazing listeners such as yourself find the podcast. And I love people, and I love friends, and I love people's friends. So being able to spread the love through your network is another really great way to support people and to support the show. All right, y'all, make it a great day, and I will see you back here on the next episode of the Waking Up with Jess podcast.